For nearly half a century, Australian artist and filmmaker George Gittoes has been known as a peace activist, the peace activist who goes to war zones. He's gone to Cambodia, Somalia, Nicaragua, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan. He's twice won the Blake Prize for Religious Art, and he's now put pen to paper. His autobiography, Blood Mystic, tells the story of a lifetime witnessing war. He's speaking here with RN's Jeff Wood.
Well, George, you've had an incredible life, an epic life. You've been shot, stabbed, bombed, beaten, tortured.
All that sort of stuff.
Drowned, jailed. And you've been in war zones from Northern Ireland in Cambodia to Somalia.
Rwanda,
Nicaragua, Bosnia, Iraq.
Still there. In fact, what we're about to do in Miami, America's now the war zone. And so we're about to make a film about child soldiers. You know, the greatest number of child soldiers are in America, not Democratic Republic of Congo. It's kids who are killing people for the drug gangs, particularly in Miami, so that if they kill someone and they're underage, they just go in and out of juvenile detention and don't get much punishment. And then imagine they go back to school and how terrifying they are for the other children in school. So I think this is the most dangerous film I've ever done. You know, just a few weeks from now, I'll be sitting on a fence with Pooch, who's the main drug dealer, and he's a huge man, and he'll have his AK-47 in the grass, and he'll be waiting to give a bag of drugs to the small-time gangs that sell them, not knowing whether the gangs will decide to shoot him and me, and that's my life.
Well, George, the obvious question is why? Why have you been going to these conflict zones for more than 40 years?
I believe that through art, you can change society. For example, with the new film in America, when I was just 18, 19, I was there when Martin Luther King was killed, 1968, and started working with the civil rights movement because I hate racism, people who are protesting against the dark side of human nature. And my life's work has been that kind of protest, saying that we're beautiful spiritual beings, you know, we've got to evolve beyond being rogue apes and stop killing one another. And no one ever questions it.
Well, you've been questioning it for a long time, and that's really the substance of your new autobiography, which is called Blood Mystic. And I want to ask you, George, about that title, Blood Mystic.
Blood Mystic, well, I didn't know I was a blood mystic, and I went to visit St. Catherine's Monastery in Egypt, and an old monk came up to me and sat next to me, and he said, "Oh, show me the drawings you'd been doing." And I showed him those, and I showed him ones I'd done in Cambodian war zones, and he turned to me and said, "You're a blood mystic." And I said, "What's that?" And so in Greek and Russian Orthodox religion, there are people who they define, like Mother Teresa, they'd say was a blood mystic. It's people who've got such a strong faith in God and the spiritual, you know, the kind of people who go in and don't take a gun but go into war to help with the wounded and the injured, like we're seeing in Syria and Yemen and places. And they're blood mystics. I'm proud of that title. In Jalalabad, I'm now regarded as a Baba, which means like an old Sufi. And so when they have a jirga where people want to solve a problem over a marriage or something like that, and if I've got the time, I'm invited around. And so they see this role of the Baba, but there are extreme fundamentalists within that culture who don't believe in music. And there's a branch of Sufism which, where they're Sufi, you know, they dance. It's always existed in Sufism, and they play music. And so the Sufis of that kind, not the ones who are just musically deaf like me, are the ones that have been persecuted, and they have been decapitated and killed and thrown into the river. And sadly, I'm still suffering deeply with sorrow, because the old Sufi who taught at the Yellow House, when I actually came back to Australia to collect the Peace Prize, I knew it was a critical time, but I had to come back. He went out and started playing his music in Lakhman province, and ISIS, which are not the Taliban, these are the Islamic State people, Daesh, came up, hundreds of people enjoying his music, smashed his harmonium, cut out his tongue while he was still alive, and decapitated him. And the message of the performing Sufis is that it's not in the book, and that's why these fundamentalists hate them. They're saying that you have everyone has their own spiritual road to take and journey. And that's why they're so hated. And they're particularly hated in Saudi Arabia. It's the Saudis, the Wahhabis, who've inspired these attacks on the Sufis. But personally, no, I don't feel terribly endangered in Jalalabad.
Let's stay with music. Around about 2004, you released a documentary about the music of war. A Soundtrack to War was the name of that film, which featured young American soldiers in Iraq and the music that they were singing or listening to as they were patrolling the streets of Baghdad and elsewhere.
The Soundtrack to War wasn't just the music of the American soldiers, rap and heavy metal and so on. We also had the Baghdad Bee Gees, who had learned English listening to the Bee Gees, and they spoke with an accent that sounded like Barry Gibb, and we had the Iraq Chamber Orchestra, and we had an Iraqi heavy metal group, Arakaza Kudia, and that was a very dangerous thing. You go down to this little cell down underneath the road, and they had pictures, rather satanic-looking pictures of heavy metal, which could have gotten their heads cut off because it looked like they were Satanists, but they're just normal kids that were doing heavy metal. And then we had the soldiers. So all of my films have been about the transformative power of art and music. So a lot of people said, George, you've had amazing access in Baghdad. You know, you were there under Saddam and when the Americans came and everything else, and you just made a film about music. You know, journalists think that's crazy. Why didn't I make something about the search for weapons of mass destruction or something? But that's not what I do. In all these war zones, I've learnt to be optimistic. And no one probably alive has seen as much death and violence as I have, you know, from Rwanda to Somalia and Cambodia. And yet I was in Pretoria when Nelson Mandela gave his Rainbow Nation speech. I was so proud of him. And I was in Cambodia when the first election came after I'd experienced the Khmer Rouge and the killing fields. Northern Ireland, it seemed that the bitterness and hate in Northern Ireland would never end. I've learnt that the human spirit rises above all of these things. I truly believe that it'll happen in Palestine someday. So I've lived long enough to know that the worst situations change. If you go to Rwanda now, it's one of the leading technological advanced countries in Africa, but I was there when women and children were being slaughtered with machetes. And it's never soldiers with guns or the military that brings this about. It's visionaries, it's people with a you know, a feeling for the future. And that's my job, is to be optimistic and to show how human decency can end these things faster than bullets.
George Gittos, his autobiography, and what a story it is, Blood Mystic, out this month.